Leaders in the U.S. Senate would like to grant new powers to federal chief information officers and update federal IT laws that haven't gotten much attention for the past dozen years. Those would be a couple of the effects of new legislation the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee approved within the last couple weeks. One of the bills is the Senate version of the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act. The other is an update to the Federal Information Security Modernization Act, which senators have been trying to modify for the past several years without much success so far. So let's talk about those potential legislative updates and other cyber issues with Jane Hall Lute. She's the president and CEO of the Council on Cybersecurity, also a former deputy Homeland Security Secretary. She's on the line now. Thanks for coming back on the program. Appreciate having you here.
Happy to be here, Jack.
So we are obviously not talking about the elusive, comprehensive cybersecurity legislation we've been waiting around for a few years now, but several fairly significant smaller pieces moving here. Let's start with the FISMA modernization bill, if we can, which, as I read it, seems to be an acknowledgement that it's time to move away from a check-the-box periodic approach to federal IT security and more of a continuous monitoring regime. From what you've seen of the legislation, does it look to you like it's pushing the government in the right direction?
I think it's absolutely pushing us in the right direction, although people can be forgiven if they think we're not moving fast enough. But for goodness sake, we do need automated FISMA compliance, and we need a system that's really state-of-the-art. And I think the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program that John Stoyford, who's at Homeland Security, developed, pioneered at state, also at VA. It's the kind of program that gets the machines in the game and gives you a continual look at your networks and generates an understanding of a way to prioritize threats and address those vulnerabilities in much better, a much more realistic approach to things than periodic reporting that really just results in wasted time writing reports that few people read and nobody can use.
Yeah, and to that point, the approach this bill appears to take is, you know, basically getting existing legislation out of the way, or I guess it's more the OMB Circular A-130, getting part of that out of the way, which is the portion that requires agencies to, you know, verify their IT security on given systems every 3 years. And instead, they're basically relying on the programs that you mentioned that John Stoyford has set up at DHS and basically let them do what they're doing already. Is that the right approach, or do we need legislative language that directs continuous diagnostics and monitoring?
No, I think it can be the right approach. I mean, people who are, you know, are in this space constantly and today recognize that the, you know, the former approach where every few years agencies sort of put out a report, literally that if you put them all together, it adds up to about a third of the way up the Washington Monument. I mean, literally. We took a look at this very carefully and looked at the cost of this. And those reports take an awful lot of staff time, and frankly, staff time that really needs to be focused more on real-time, you know, cybersecurity that's important to the agencies they're serving, and not wasting time on a report that's outdated the moment it hits the paper.
And so ultimately has no utility whatsoever. Another piece of this, you know, the sponsors, Senators Carper and Coburn, say another one of their main objectives with the bill is to clearly delineate in law the cybersecurity roles that DHS and OMB have. DHS, of course, didn't even exist when FISMA was first enacted. So the status quo we have without DHS being called out in statute in this way, from your perspective, has that made it harder for the department to function and do what it needs to do to protect federal agencies in the cyber arena?
You know, unfortunately, it has. The department has been in this space, you know, for the past half dozen years, and intensively since 2009, when we called out ensuring the cybersecurity of the nation's critical infrastructure is one of the five key missions of Homeland Security, the point of which is to help create a safe, secure, resilient place where the American way of life can thrive. And along with preventing terrorism, securing our borders, enforcing and administering our immigration laws, and building national resilience is cybersecurity. And so the department's been building out the federal role in this space, working very closely with the private sector that, as we all know, holds the vast majority of ownership and operating responsibilities for the nation's critical infrastructure. But the department has not had explicit authorities laid out for it. And so we have been doing this job. And so this legislation would take an important step into clarifying for everyone just what the department's role is.
And what's the specific effect of that lack of clarity been? I mean, has the agency itself been by necessity gun shy on doing some of the things that it feels like it ought to be doing? What are the real world effects of that?
No, well, the department has pressed on. I mean, the two key things that we have to do in cyberspace and with respect to cybersecurity were the similar things in the other aspects of Homeland Security. Prevent bad things from happening and respond effectively and rapidly when bad things do happen. And so the creation of the NCIC, which is the center, as everyone knows, certainly that listens to this program, for collating and paying attention to the nation's critical infrastructure and cybersecurity and cyber intrusions, has had to fight, I think, in some cases unnecessarily, to occupy the space of liaising with the private sector and helping to coordinate the other centers that do and should exist in the federal government to share information in a timely way, again, to prevent bad things from happening and to respond rapidly when they do.
The NCIC, of course, is the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, which, as you alluded to, DHS set up without direction from Congress, I think. But there is a separate bill that would codify NCIC and place it basically permanent in law. I think a lot of people agree that it's done some pretty great things, but doesn't completely solve the information sharing problem that we have in cybersecurity. Would you agree?
There is no single point solution to the cybersecurity problem. In Homeland Security, the Washington is the federal partner. It's a partner with state and local authorities. It's a partner with the private sector. And we need to pool our strengths to share this burden that we all have in cybersecurity. You know, we're not going to run cybersecurity like an intelligence program and hope to succeed. We're not going to run it like a military operation. It's got to be run in the distributed fashion that, frankly, the provision of cyber services is done in this country already. And the department, along with its federal partners in DOD, in the FBI, and other parts of the federal government, have been getting their act together impressively over the past several years to respond to this problem. But there's no single point of solution. So we've got to figure out a way to collaborate effectively.
And let me ask about one more bill that actually passed back in May. This one deals with the cybersecurity workforce. This is something I know you're working on a lot at the council. This one would appear to extend the kind of the hiring authorities that NSA has to DHS, senators citing the idea that DHS is competing for talent, basically, against other federal agencies who have these special hiring advantages. Did you see that when you were the deputy at DHS, and was it a major problem?
There were several major problems associated with the workforce dimensions of cybersecurity. The first one is, have we identified all the positions that we need? We went through that exercise in DHS, had the support of a high-level task force with a number of very prominent individuals in this space that walked us through the priorities that we needed to put in place and frankly reflected our own judgment about that. So identifying the positions that you need, being really sure about what competencies do those positions need to have and how do we know that people have them. And then the competition for the best talent. Everybody's got that problem. But not every cybersecurity problem can only go to the cybersecurity specialist. We need to look at other professionals. Are they law enforcement professionals, electrical engineers, gas and oil experts, health IT professionals, et cetera? What degree of cybersecurity expertise do they need to have baked in, again, to their native competencies so that they can all be part of the solution as well? And so soup to nuts, the manpower problem, the manpower dimensions of cybersecurity have to be attended to as well as the technology.
Let me press you specifically on the authorities question, though. Would that in and of itself, dealing with just the provisions of that specific bill, extending those NSA-like authorities to DHS, I know it's not going to solve the entire problem, but how much would it help, do you think?
Yeah, I think that what we're really looking for is, and it would help, giving DHS the ability to hire quickly, put people at levels where maybe they're lacking a college degree. You know, there are a lot of very talented people out there that don't have a 4-year college degree. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be a requirement, for example, of certain positions at GS levels, for example, or even at SES levels. If you've got the demonstrated proven competency from a competent certifying authority, a DHS ought to have the ability to bring those people in quickly. Not everybody wants to make the federal government or public service their career, but we should make Homeland Security sort of a must-stop hop on any successful cyber career wherever you end up or wherever you start out. And these authorities will help DHS do that.
And before you go, in our last 90 seconds or so, the Council on Cybersecurity has been up and running for just about a year, I think. You want to give us an update on what the organization's been up to and where you've been focused and where you're headed next?
Yeah, over the past year, what we set out to do were two things specifically. One is to provide a successor home for the work of the National Board of Information Security Examiners that has done a lot of work on cybersecurity skill validation in specialized expertise like electrical engineering, and also provide a home to U.S. Cyber Challenge. We've also set out to provide a non-commercial independent platform for the 20 critical security controls. And we have issued an update this year. Tony Sager, my colleague, who's our chief technologist and, you know, the father of the controls, spoke at RSA and laid out the new controls 5.0. And we have been sending a message that cybersecurity, the four things you can do for critical hygiene will prevent 80 to 90% of all known attacks, and every enterprise needs to get on board with that.